Good morning and welcome to All Things Jessamine. I'm Doug Fain. On today's program, we're going to be talking about a fellow that used to sell life insurance. He was also chairman of our school board and was a Nicholasville City Commissioner for a while. His name was Joe Darty. We'll be remembering Joe and his wife Betty when we talk to two of his children, Lynn and John. It all comes your way next after this word from our sponsor, the Farmers Bank of Jessamine County.
In 1934, a brand new house cost about $6,000. The cost of a gallon of gas was 10 cents. And in 1934, Farmers Bank of Jessamine County opened their doors at 200 North Main Street in Nicholasville. And they've been there ever since. The times may have changed, but Farmers Bank is still here. Still proud to be the only locally owned and locally operated bank in Jessamine County. Banking with friends and neighbors. Farmers Bank, equal housing lender. Member FDIC.
Good morning and welcome to All Things Jessamine. Glad to have you on this Saturday morning as we continue to learn about people, places, and things of Jessamine County. With me today, we have two people that we're going to talk about their parents and their family as a whole. They were born and raised here, and they are members of the Darty family, specifically Joe and Betty Darty. I have with me today their daughter, Lynn Thomas, and their son, John Darty. Good morning to both of you.
Good morning.
We are so glad to have you along as we learn a little bit more about the Darty family. I think we'll start with your mom. And the reason I'm going to do that is because I know she was a native, while your dad, I think, was one of those, we'll call them imports, if you will. But he lived here so long, he was Jessamine County. So why don't we start with your mom? Tell us a little bit about Betty and who her parents were and kind of her upbringing as far as school and education.
Well, my mom was a Share. And she was the daughter of Beatrice Moss Share and Leslie Share here in Nicholasville. And she has one sister, and her name is Mary Leslie Share Sanders.
So her family, on both the Share and the Mosses, well-known families here in our community, pretty big families.
Yes.
Now, which Moss was she hooked to?
Theodore.
Okay. And then the Share, your granddad, Les. Now, did he was an insurance salesman, wasn't he?
Correct.
For many, many years?
Same company that our father worked for.
Oh, that's
National
how that
Life.
Happened. Okay. And so then out of that was two daughters born.
Correct.
Now, your mother, she graduated, I assume, Nicholasville High?
She's a NHS tarantula.
Okay, a tarantula. And you know, a lot of people, John, don't realize that other than us that's been around for a while. They were called the tarantulas, and I've often wondered how that happened. Maybe we'll find out someday. What about after high school? Did she go on to
college? She went to UK, and while she was at UK, that's where she met our father.
Now, he is from Lincoln County, is that
no,
right?
No, he's a Danville.
Boyle County.
He's a native of Danville, Kentucky.
Tell us about him and his parents.
Well, his father worked for the Southern Railway Company there in Danville.
Mm-hmm.
His mother, my grandmother, stayed at home. She had
eight children,
two of which died in infancy, six of which lived, and he has one remaining brother that's alive.
Okay.
The other siblings are all deceased, but he went to Danville High, went to center, played football.
Yeah.
Very much a Danville person. In fact, when they married, they lived in Danville, 2 years?
Yes.
And that's where I was born, at McDowell Hospital in Danville.
All right.
So, truth be known, probably he would have loved to have stayed in Danville the rest of his life. He was very connected to his high school and college classmates, and even to the day he died. He had very good friends that he would communicate regularly with, DHS people and Center College people. And he was very much a Danville person. Loved Danville.
You said that both of them went to UK. What is that right?
No, Dad went to
Center. But how did your mom meet him?
Well, blind date, I think.
And in those days, I think the gathering point was Harrington Lake, wasn't it? I've heard them talk about Gwen Island, Antoine and Pierre's. Have you heard of that?
No.
Well, it was a restaurant that, you've heard them mention that, haven't you?
Yes.
It was a magnet for Eastern, Georgetown, Transylvania, UK. I mean, they didn't have computers. They didn't have cell phones.
Right.
So that was the magnet.
Yeah.
And that was, I've heard them talk about going to Harrington Lake and for the weekend and just having a social occasion with other
people.
I think that's where they originally met, and then they began to date, and then they got married. And
there it was. What did your dad major in at Center? Do you know?
I think health and PE, didn't he?
Yes.
Because he played football. This morning I was looking in the chest of drawers, and I found his letter, his C letter that he got from playing football.
Yeah. Did he teach at all?
He didn't.
But he majored in that. What about your mom? What did she major in?
Was she home economics, I think?
I think so.
And she used that every day of her life.
Well, of course.
Yeah.
But never worked. Did she ever work outside the home? So it was. She always had the hardest job of being a housewife and a mother, which is, to me, one of the hardest jobs you can ever have. So they end up meeting. Now, what did he do at that time as far as an occupation when they met and married?
When they met, they were both college students.
Yeah, but I guess after they married,
I think he went right into the insurance business, didn't he?
Well, he worked at Sears and Roebuck when they moved back to Nicholasville for a little while, and then he went into the insurance business. And my grandfather, I think, really kind of started him off of that.
Yeah. Did he ever serve in the military?
Yes.
Was Joe in the military? Do you know what branch?
He was in the Army and stationed for a long time in Bermuda.
Oh, really?
Which was a horrible assignment.
They hated that. Was that prior to marriage?
Yes.
Now, we'll continue on just with the family life before we get too much into the professional life. You three kids, at some point in time, they decided to have a family. So tell us about each of you three in order and kind of what you've been doing with your lives.
Well, I'm the oldest, and I was born in 49 and graduated JCHS. Mm-hmm. There was no East and West back then in 67. Then Dad wanted us all to have a vocation and wanted us all to be trained after high school to do something. He was big on work and pull your own way and that sort of thing. And I don't think they really cared where we went to college as long as it was in Kentucky.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to get away, and I did. I went to Western.
And I started to say, I don't know of anybody in our county that's probably any more loyal to their university than you are as a Western Hilltopper. Was that the only reason you went there? You just wanted to get away from town?
I wanted to get away, and I don't mean this to be condescending, but I had gone to school with most of those kids all of my life, and I just wanted to get away.
Do something different.
Do something different.
Yeah.
And Mom said, Dad said, we're not going to do that unless we go look at the place, go in the rooms and the dorms and the buildings. And so one day we went down there. I just fell in love with it.
Yeah.
And when I got there, I didn't want to leave.
Well, yeah. Well, good university. Did you know at that point in time that you wanted to be in education?
Well, when Dad got on the Board of Education, my sophomore or junior year in high school.
Yeah, he was on there a long time because he was still on there when I graduated in 80.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And education was a big thing to him because he had seen us go, especially my sister, go through double sessions.
Correct.
You're right.
And that did not go over well with him at all.
Yeah.
He thought that was a great detriment to the education of the kids in the county and wanted that to stop, and it finally did. But I had a knack for. I had several good high school teachers that made an impression upon me, and that's what I chose.
And then just decided that was it. And you know, if you don't mind me asking, who were some of those teachers that made impressions?
Well, Coach Elmer Stevenson. I took a couple of his classes. Interesting man.
Uh-huh.
You would look at the class, you would look at your watch, and think, "My heavens, where is the hour going?"
Yeah,
that's how entertaining and educational he was, and he made an impression upon me. Mary Bell Richardson, she, of course, these people are all deceased.
Right.
But those people, and Ann Daugherty, now she was no relation to us, although the name is spelled alike. She was a guidance counselor, and she suggested on two or three occasions that may be a vocation I would like to pursue. Mm-hmm. And she was correct. That's what I majored in. That's what I did for 34 years, and
yeah, I was going to ask you, you were in it a long time. Were you always here in Jessup County teaching when you came back? Were you at the junior high?
It was the junior high then. Now it's Early Learning Village,
Well, the building, right.
Yeah, yeah.
And they call the school the middle school now. But back then, because I had you in ninth grade for history, I think it was U.S. government.
Civics, yeah.
Back then it was just seventh, eighth, and ninth graders. You didn't go to high school in ninth grade. You were still in junior high. Mm-hmm. So 34 years, but that wasn't enough for you. You retire, but you just can't quit because you still help out a little bit.
I've been in the front office there since I retired in May of 06.
At West High.
Right. It's a 10-3 thing. Come late and leave early.
Banker's hours. And that's good. Kind of like an insurance agent. Uh-huh. Of course, your dad, though, I shouldn't say that because they worked some really odd hours. Uh-huh. They were gone a lot of time, and we'll talk about that in a minute. So next was Lynn. Lynn, tell us about when you came along and what you've done. And your.
Well, I also am a graduate from UK. I mean, I'm sorry, from West Jessamine. Back then, it was just Jessamine.
Right.
And I had planned on going to Western, and right at the last minute, I changed my mind, and I stayed at home and had met my husband at that time. He was in the service, and he served 2 years, and during that time, while he was gone, I got a degree in floral design, and I worked here locally in a couple of flower shops, mm-hmm. and then when my children came along, I went to work in the school system because the hours were just great, and I enjoyed the kids. And I worked in the school system for 27 years at Warner Elementary, and I was an instructional assistant.
Now, let's back up just a minute, if you don't mind. What florist did you work at? Because we've had some programs on florist here.
Correct. I've worked at Nicholasville Florist for a number of years after I got out of a floral design school.
Martha Holcomb, I guess, hired you there.
Yes. Yeah. And I'll have to tell you this about her. She was left-handed, and I was right-handed. And someone left-handed can't teach you to do things right-handed. So I had a hard time, and I kept telling her daughter, I said, Bobby, I just can't get this. And she said, well, you have to remember, she's left-handed, you're right-handed, so everything's backwards. Mm-hmm. But I loved it and still deal in it every little once in a while. I try to help the Nicholasville florist out during holidays. Mm-hmm. And then I went to work when my kids were in school. I worked part-time at Edgewood Florist.
Yeah, with Polly and Patsy.
Patsy.
Yeah.
And I worked for them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's
it.
That's it.
And it's funny you bring up Martha Holcomb and Nicholasville Florist, because next week our program will be about Martha Holcomb and Nicholasville Florist. And an interesting story that I'll mention ahead of time is Bobby told us that the whole reason that Martha even got into the floral business was because she wanted to buy a TV. And that was a way to make some money to buy the television. So you just never know what causes a business to get started. Do you have children?
I have two. I have a daughter, Myra Ironmonger, and she teaches at Nicholasville Elementary, and she's been there 17 years.
Yeah.
So education runs in the family.
Yes, it does.
And then we have a son, Steve, and he lives in Nashville, and he works for Alante Healthcare, and he is director of all of their equipment and distribution of that.
And of course, both.
And they're both Western graduates.
They both went to Western.
They both went to Western.
Yes, of course. They didn't have any influence from Uncle John.
None.
Well, tell us about the baby of the family. Now, I talked to you the other night, and you told me that he's the one that has to work for a living. Tom, when did Tom come along?
Well, Tom is
7 years younger than myself.
Okay. Where did he? Did he go to Western?
Yeah, we're all Western
graduates. Everybody went to Western. But then he got an education too, didn't he?
He did his bachelor's and master's back-to-back at Western.
Yeah.
And then taught at Warner for
quite a few years. I think about 12 years.
Yeah.
And then applied for a job at Rowan County up in Moorhead as the director of people personnel, or when I was growing up, the truant officer, Miss Annabelle Roberts.
Right.
And he was there for, 17 years, 15 years as a DPP, and retired from there 3 years ago, four years ago. And now he is part-time DPP at the Eminence School System, which I think is on the Shelby-Henry County border.
Yeah.
So 2 or 3 days a week, he hops on the interstate and goes to Shelbyville and takes a ride, and then goes to Eminence. He lives in Midway.
Okay, I started to ask where he was now. So he's living somewhat, kind of like you, somewhat the retired life also. And Tom, I think, I was in 80. It seems like he graduated in 77, maybe. Does that sound about right? So somewhere, 76, somewhere 78. In there. 78. He was 2 years ahead of me.
Yeah.
So those are the three kids and what they... what you all have done all these years. Let's get back to your mom and dad. Now, your dad got into the insurance business and had some good influence from your grandfather, Shear. And you said it was National Life. Is that correct?
And then it was sold to AIG, American General. And that's continued on.
And that, as we alluded to earlier, is a tough job. That's not an 8-to-5 job.
No.
And there's many nights I know, and probably weekends where,
Saturday.
Yeah, you didn't see him because you have to meet with clients when mm-hmm. they are available. And I guess Joe was pretty much turned out to be a natural salesman. Did rock quite
yeah,
well,
he
didn't
did he? Very well, and he advanced in the business. I think when he retired, he was a manager, I think,
mm-hmm.
in the office in Lexington. So he did very well, and we lived a very simple but middle-class life,
mm-hmm.
and we didn't have much wants, and he provided for the family and did so very well.
Yeah. You know, the one thing that I say this before I forget it, the one thing that I can remember the best about your dad is his sayings. Was he always like that? He had, and I wish I could had written some of them down, but he had sayings, little quips for everything.
Yeah.
Was he like that all the time?
Yeah.
Yes.
The one that sticks out to in my memory the most was, just do what's right. If you do what's right, everything falls in line.
Yeah.
But that was one of the minor ones. He would...
Oh, he had them all the time. Yeah.
If he went to a city commission meeting and got a budget, he would pick it clean,
uh-huh.
as he would say,
uh-huh.
to find out if there was waste
yeah.
or misuse or
yeah.
mismanagement or anything like that. That was quite common with him.
Speaking of which, I guess his first elected job, though, was school board.
Right.
Do you know about why, maybe not when, but why he decided to get into that?
He always told me it was because I got on double sessions.
And that was it. And double session, best I can remember, was 64-71, somewhere in that span.
Yeah.
So he was just a concerned parent and said,
right.
you know, I like this and I'm going to run. And he ran and won and served for quite a long time.
25 years, I think.
Wow. And that was before city commission.
Yes.
Yeah.
That was even before that.
And then he was on state. He was on state school board. Also.
Oh, was he? I didn't know that. So then do you remember why he ran for city commissioner? Or was it commission then, or was it still council?
Commission.
Okay. Commission. You have any idea why that?
I'm not sure. He was chairman of the board until 82, from 75 to 82. And I'm not sure exactly why he ran, but he was civic-minded. He
mm-hmm.
wanted to do something
mm-hmm.
for the community that made a difference, and he decided to run and did so, and ironically died...
On election day. You know, I have told that story many times because I had the pleasure of serving city commission with him and got to know him really well. And I remember the day he died. It was election day.
Mm-hmm.
And in the city, if we have any people listening that are not from our city, the way it works is in the spring, you have an election. And if there's more than 8 people, it narrows down to 8. And then in the fall, those 8 people run to narrow it down to 4, and that's who goes in. Well, I never will forget, it was in the May election, the best I can
mm-hmm.
remember.
May 18th.
Of was it 98? What year was it?
Or 2004.
Oh, 4, 2004. Okay, 2004. But I remember that morning, and Joe had gone through an illness, pretty mm-hmm. lengthy illness. But I remember thinking to myself, he died that morning, best mm-hmm. I can remember, 10 or so. And word got out pretty good. I mean, it traveled town pretty fast that Joe had died. And at the end of the day, he still, even in death, made the cut. Now, guys, to me, that is the ultimate compliment, that people in town would think enough of you, even in your passing, to put you in that position. That said a lot. Now, I remember when serving with Joe. Joe, very conservative, as you said,
oh, yeah.
very meticulous, to the point that sometimes he even was known as the Ginner. And it wasn't that he was against a lot of stuff. It's just that when he felt it was bad for the community, he would be against it, as we should do. But he was very good to serve with, and he had some great ideas, and I enjoyed so much. One little story about what he would do to me. He always carried those candies in his pocket.
Yeah.
I remember wearing those cardigan sweaters.
Oh, yeah.
And a mint or something like that, and I'd be sitting there talking at the city commission meeting and probably rambling too long, and he'd put one over in front of me, and that was my cue that I needed to shut up. I said enough. Here you go, Doug.
I can picture that
yes.
taking place.
You talked about community involvement. We get outside of the politics a minute. I mean, he coached
Little League. Oh, yeah.
Started Little League.
Yeah, he was one of the ones that kind of got that going, didn't
yes.
he?
Yes, I remember that very well. First ball field was on the corner of Cook Lane and 29.
Where the school maintenance building
correct.
Is now. Yeah.
It was a tobacco field.
Really?
And we sat on bales of hay, And I don't remember. I think there were six teams to start with, and they had only caps. And I know that Mr. Royce, Pete Royce, mm-hmm. the elder Pete Royce Sr., mm-hmm. and Holton West, and I'm not, and Dad,
Earl Hall, yeah,
and I'm not for sure who the other two
were. Yeah.
I'm thinking Dick Morton and maybe, well, I'm not for sure.
Dick Morton sounds, I think I've heard that before, that he was involved too. And they got the Little League program going.
Sure did.
And I know something else that he did that I did not remember and did not know about until he died was playing Santa Claus. How did that come about?
Well, he needed extra money for Christmas.
And that's just what
well,
he did.
Well, not only here, Southland used to be the hub shopping area. We didn't have any malls back then.
That's right, yeah.
So Dad and another gentleman that worked for the same insurance company had a trailer, and they would take turns being Santa Claus, and you could go into the trailer and have your picture made with Santa. And that's how he earned extra money. And this other gentleman had three children also, and he needed extra money at Christmas
wow.
time. So that's how they started into the Santa business.
But he was well-rounded.
That happened several years, I think.
Oh, yeah, he did that quite often.
Let me ask you some of your takes on Mom and Dad. We'll start with Betty. We've talked a lot about Joe. We'll start with Betty. And, Lynn, I'm going to give you this question. This might be the hardest question you have all day. Give me a word to describe your mom.
That is a hard question. Homemaker. Everything she did for us. And Dad knew that his hours were so odd, and he wanted her to be home to supervise and take care of us, and she fully backed him on everything that he did and loved the Little League and the social aspect of mm-hmm. it, because Mother just loved talking to people.
Mm-hmm.
Daddy always said that she'd talk to a monkey if it answered back. And that was quite true. She really liked people also, and so did Dad. So
yeah.
They made a good match on that.
You have a different word, John?
Well, what comes to mind to me is the word structure or discipline. The home was very disciplined. We had a meal as a family every night. There was no such thing as sitting down individually. And,
mm-hmm.
Other than when I was in double sessions.
And that was the point of the evening where we discussed the day's activity. They wanted to know what we did at school,
mm-hmm.
who our friends were.
Mm-hmm.
And they made it a point to know that and to be involved in our lives. So the family meal at the evening, 5, 6, 7 o'clock, whenever we ate, was mm-hmm. was a family affair. But she kept a very meticulous household. We always had something to eat. The house was always warm in the winter and cool in the summer. And
mm-hmm.
she was very organized at what she did.
Yeah, good place to grow up.
Yeah, and we grew up on Elm Street, which is a street that it was just kind of like what you would see in Norman Rockwell.
Right.
It was a photo. Plenty of people to play with and mm-hmm. good families. And mm-hmm. and it was the 50s and 60s were a good time to live there.
Now, I'll have to add this. Another thing. Mother was always one, as John said, to have a meal on the table. And at one time, we, Tom, John, and I all went to three different sessions of school.
In school, because of the double sessions.
He went from 8:30 to 3:30. I went from 1 to 7, and Tom went from 8:30 to 12. So we were coming and going
wow.
all the time.
Yeah.
And that went on for 1 year, and then after that we kind of yeah. got into the 8 to 12. But
yeah.
then I was still on from 1 to 7.
And that's because you were a city kid.
I was city
now,
kid.
Now, I remember when I was in a little bit of the double session right toward the end mm-hmm. years, and I remember going early because I was one of them county kids, and we had to go early. It seems like we got out, oh, man, I want to say we got out a little before you all came in. I can remember coming down the halls, getting ready to get on the bus as the city kids were coming in.
Mm-hmm.
That was kind of our interaction with them up and down those halls. All right, same question about your dad. I'm going to start with you this time. One word to describe Joe Daugherty as a dad.
Loving and a disciplinarian. He wanted us to do what was right. He loved us immensely. And when we did something that was inaccurate or mm-hmm. not up to their standard, we were made aware of it And it made an impression.
Sure.
You know, he was a loving father and provided a good home and provided guidance.
Yeah.
And was a moral person, a very moral person.
Yes, yes.
So, and religious. We grew up in a religious household. So.
Were they Christian church?
Yeah.
Yeah, Knoxville Christian. What about you? One word for dad or two, for Joe. As a daughter, that's even harder, isn't
yes.
it?
Because we were very, as he girl. Would always say, we're very tight.
Yeah.
Father and daughter were
yeah,
very tight. My mother always told me that I never walked until after I was two because Daddy carried me everywhere. And anytime I had a picture, I was in his arms.
And the truth be known, he carried you till he died.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, matter of fact, I took him to all the last city commission meetings,
mm-hmm.
and he would enlighten me on what was going on at the city commission meetings, and he would tell me before the meeting what would happen.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he had that much insight.
Oh, yeah, he did. He knew.
And he mm-hmm. knew how people were going to vote
mm-hmm.
and what would be said, mm-hmm. and he would tell me, and it would just come to life.
Yeah,
just,
he did.
It all happened.
He was great for me to sit by. I learned a lot about city government from Joe Daugherty, and certainly is missed, of course. What do you think was Joe's favorite thing in his life, other than his kids? I'm talking about his public service, his work, his community. What do you think he enjoyed the most?
I think his grandchildren.
Yeah, that was his life. I mean, yeah. Your kids were, of course.
Yes.
But nothing like those grandkids.
No. My granddaughter, well, I mean, his granddaughter, my daughter.
Yeah.
They were very close, about
yeah.
like
yeah.
he and I. And our son, as all boys, my father would tell me when the right woman came along, our son would just bow down before her. And he was 38 before he got married, so
yeah.
that did happen.
Yeah, yeah.
So I just kept saying, you know, Dad said that that's what would happen, and that's exactly what happened.
You know, of course, Joe, you think about it, 2004 has not been that long ago when he died. So things haven't changed an awful lot in our community since then. One of the questions I ask people whose parents maybe have been gone a long time is, what would they think if they could come back and see? They haven't changed a whole lot. A little bit. I think, I don't know if Joe, think he'd be happy with what he sees?
I think he probably would. I don't think he's been gone since 2004. I've often wondered with this election coming up what he would have thought. I would love to have asked him.
Yes, yeah, and that went through my mind a few minutes ago too. Is I'm sure he would have some sayings.
Oh, I'm sure
that he could throw out about this one. Yeah, or the one that just passed.
Because he wasn't much of a party person. He voted for the person. If he thought that they
right.
could do a good job,
right.
male or female,
right.
then he wasn't. That's who he decided he would cast his vote for.
Yeah, it would be interesting to hear.
Yeah.
In your life, you all had it pretty lucky. You really did. You had good parents. You were raised well. And I'm going to try to speak for you right now, is that if you could be born over, you'd have it the same way. Same family members, everything pretty much the same. And you need to feel very proud of your mom and your dad. I knew both of them. My family, though, I guess knew your mom probably better because of the Shear and the Moss connection. I got to know Joe really well. And I remember one of the things that I told, and I was very honored to be able to speak at his funeral, to say, is that it was interesting that the day that I graduated high school, and we had our graduation in the gymnasium, the unair-conditioned gymnasium of what is now West High, he was chairman of the board, and he sat on the stage as chairman of the Board of Education as I walked across in my new chapter of life. And I was very honored that on the day of his funeral, I was able to be on stage mm-hmm. while he started a new chapter of his being.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And Joe was just an excellent guy to be with. I so much enjoyed serving with him and knowing him. And your mom, like you say, just as nice as she could be. You're very lucky. And I appreciate you coming today to tell us all about him. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much. I've enjoyed this.
Well, my thanks to Lynn and John for coming in and telling us about their parents. We learn a little more about Joe and Betty Daugherty. I appreciate you coming in every Saturday morning, also at 11 o'clock, for All Things Jessamine. We'll do it again next week. Also remind you I'm on every weekday morning from 6 until 8 a.m. for my regular show. All right here on Jess FM 105.9.
Beginnings are important.
especially when it comes to building a future. From start to finish, Farmers Bank of Jessamine County will be with you every step of the way. Whether it's a house, a car, a college fund, or saving for retirement, it all starts here. Stop by any of our four convenient Jessamine County locations today or visit us on the web at myfarmersbank.net. Banking with friends and neighbors, Farmers Bank of Jessamine County, Equal Housing Lender, Member FDIC.